I think they like you, Steve.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
To go. 720 WGN, here's Steve Cochran Show, Justin Kaufman with you, Dave Bennett, Mary Sandberg, Mary Vandeveld, Steve Brzanich, Steve Cochran. Had a great show lined up today. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Had a great show. Sean Spicer going to join us this hour. Sean Spicer, the former press secretary for President Trump. We all remember Sean Spicer. Much thanks to Melissa McCarthy.
I was going
to
say, how could you forget?
I think Steve likes to call him Spicy Spicerman.
Oh, is that the...
That's what he called him on our show, yeah.
The term?
Yep.
He has a new book. The book, The Briefing, is out now, and he's on the press tour. He's going to join us after the 6:30 news. It's getting mixed reviews, the book, as expected. And a lot of the... It was surprising to me because a lot of times books don't get reviewed by political reporters. But you're seeing a lot of people who are in the press corps who lived through the Sean Spicer tenure writing reviews for this book, which is really interesting to me. Like, they're actually calling out some of the inaccuracies. It was Jonathan Carl from ABC News who said, "Mr. Spicer's book is much like his tenure as press secretary, short, littered with inaccuracies and offering up one consistent theme. Mr. Trump can do no wrong." So that's the overwhelming thought on the book from the press corps. I'm not saying from all people. People who do this professionally review books may have a different opinion than the people who lived it with Sean Spicer.
Has the president reviewed the book?
I'm sure he will. I wonder what the president would say. But almost all accounts, it does seem to be a flattering portrayal of the president and what he was attempting to get done in the first years in the White House as Sean Spicer as his press secretary. So.
You know, there's always two sides to every story. So if you believe your side, then those aren't inaccurate, you know?
Right, right.
If Spicer thinks that's how it was.
Well, wasn't it the Emmy? They did a bit on the Emmys where he came out and he did a, or maybe it's the Oscars or Golden Globes, whatever.
Yeah, one of the award shows he did.
Yeah, yeah. One of the infomercials for, or I mean award shows. He did a bit, and then afterwards...
It was the Emmys.
Yeah, there was a blowback.
He stole the show.
Yeah, but there was a blowback, and I saw this on Twitter and other places, that people were upset that Sean Spicer was even invited, why even make jokes about it? And when you get to that point of you're in society where it's not even acceptable to poke fun at everything, it feels like we're on the verge of a breakdown, so... We'll have Sean Spicer coming up after the 6:30 news, but more importantly, later in the program, the return of Coach Q. This will be my first time on this program with Coach Q, and I've heard them many a time, the check-ins during the season when Coach Q comes on with Steve, and Steve asks these long, eloquent, articulate, and probing questions to get answers that usually aren't an equal and opposite reaction. They're short.
I don't know that that's necessary. I mean, it has happened that way, but I think for the most part, and Coach Q's been on with us for, well, as long as we've been doing this show in the morning, and as long as he's been coaching the Blackhawks, and I think he's generally, I mean, you'll get the occasional bump in the road, but generally
answers.
He's very cooperative
like
and answers
that.
Our questions.
I always got a kick out of it when
well,
I would listen.
Got a good laugh.
Yeah, because you're not here, Justin.
Usually the bump comes when Steve talks about going to lunch with him.
Yeah,
that's the party.
That's right.
He's not interested in, but he'll talk about the Blackhawks for sure.
Well, he's obviously one of the legends of Chicago sport as a coach who's brought three Stanley Cup championships to the Blackhawks. So it'd be great to have him on to talk about the Blackhawks convention, the off season, and see how the mustache is doing.
Have you done the convention?
I haven't. I'm gonna go this weekend.
Good,
I'm gonna go on Sunday.
Yeah, it's something to see.
Yeah,
it definitely is.
I've always wanted to go, and it's just the nighttime. No one cares about the nighttime guys.
Well, that's not true.
Nobody cared.
We always cared about
always cared.
Right. But are you going to take Miles?
I would like to. That's the idea. Yeah. So the hope is, I have a funny story about Miles. He may come with me on Friday. And I told him Steve won't be here. Steve's going to New York. And I said, we're doing a Blackhawks show with, you know, Troy Murray's going to be co-hosting. So there's not going to be any room for you to be on air. That's what I told him. And he's like, maybe I'll just go to work with Mom.
He wants air time.
Is he going to be on air there?
Yeah, I think he got addicted to, thanks to Steve, he's got addicted to the on-air rush.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't come in if I wasn't on.
Yeah, I can book Miles at 6:40 on Friday, so that's a tune in for people.
He would take it, but I told him, I said, if you're coming to work, you know, bring the iPad, because you're going to be sitting in the office while we do our job.
Did you tell him it'd be a thrill just to hang with Dad, and he didn't buy it?
He didn't buy it, no.
It's wrong. It's just wrong.
It's just wrong.
Sean Spicer coming up at 6:40. Oh, the Spicy Spicerman show was part of the joy of the first 6 months of Trumplandia, and we'll talk to him. Let's do the top six after the headlines, or I should say the tease for the headlines. That's a professional term. It's not that I go into the newsroom and go, nah, 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 nah.
Well, sometimes you do.
Right, but not this time.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, the President of the United States is now heard on tape talking to his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, about hush money for the former Playboy playmate, Karen McDougal, and other clients. Well, clients, I guess they'd be friends. And It's quite revelatory and quite shocking, and we don't know what's going to happen, if anything.
If you hear it from one side, it proves that there was hush money paid. You hear from the other side, it exonerates that there was no hush money paid.
When your defense is no money was paid, it doesn't address the fact that the discussion was going on that it happened. Are we going to have to pay?
It's ridiculous that nobody mentions that that's what the conversation is about. But the real political firestorm is around the word cash. As President Trump in the point says, cash. He wants to pay cash. He doesn't want to pay check. Now, Giuliani and company will say that shows that he wanted to do check because that was...
I love that doing the right thing would be having a record of it. So we're writing a check to the girl to keep her quiet.
That's doing the right thing. He did nothing wrong.
It's really remarkable. That's the world we're now living in. Next. Going to be a little awkward at the White House today when Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan come over. They'll be sitting down with the president later today. They both said yesterday that Vladimir Putin is not welcome in Congress if and when he comes to visit this fall. That's awkward for President Trump because his buddy's coming in, and he wants to have an opportunity for them to hang out, maybe go to a ball game. McConnell and Ryan, who have said nothing for months, are both saying, no, he's not coming to Congress. We'll see if they stick to that line when they sit down with the president later today. Next, the trade wars are slamming American farmers to the tune of billions of dollars. But the president is now giving $12 billion back. The $12 billion payback is for the losses farmers are suffering at the hands of the trade wars that the president started. So we'll see if, in fact, this does cover their losses. In the meantime, the reason these losses have to be paid is because the trade war was started by the president. So that money has to come from somewhere, and it's coming from American taxpayers.
It's always hard. As a taxpayer, I'm okay with any sort of bailout for farmers because their industry didn't cause this. It's caused by politics, essentially. But I also, the hypocrisy of the Republican Party and the Republican president to do this after running on and campaigning against the last president for bailout packages and using taxpayer money to rescue the auto industry, or even the president before that, the banking industry. That's where I get upset. I always get my suit in a wrinkle when we get into the hypocrisy of politics.
I should go to a better dry cleaner.
Yeah, right. One side is so fervently against something, and then they do it.
Next. Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, who you also haven't heard much from in the past several months. She still is a top White House advisor. She's shutting down her namesake fashion brand. After 17 months in Washington, she says, I don't know when or if I'll be able to return to the business. Ms. Trump says, but I do know that my focus for the foreseeable future will be at the work I'm doing here in Washington. So making the decision now is the only fair outcome for my team and my partners.
It's going to take a while for them to wind it down, but they're not going to put out a spring collection like they've stopped putting out new things.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not putting out a spring collection either. If I'm not putting out my collection, she doesn't need to put out hers. In a world of high fashion and the level of which she was playing, shouldn't there be people to run the company?
They have 18 employees, you know, full-time ones, but I think she finds it to be, it's not fair to her partners that her time's divided, you know, that she's not even around.
Do you think this has anything to do with the fact that people have been dropping her left and right?
It could be a combination. Mm-hmm. You know, that's... Oh, go ahead, Mary.
Oh, plus Carson's closed, and she was selling her brand in Carson, so there goes a lot of stuff there.
Get it somewhere where it's going to stay open, like Jewel.
Yeah, they have it at Macy's, too, yeah. There are some nice things.
It's expensive.
Do you own any Ivanka stuff?
I have one dress, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is expensive. I bought mine on sale.
Yeah, I tried.
Is it a dress I've seen you in?
No, because it's too
special occasion dress.
Yeah,
it's too nice for here.
Yeah. Well, she's probably right. Next, Patty Blagojevich, wife of Rod Blagojevich, seeking a commutation from President Trump, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Examiner yesterday, and contended that little did we know that the truly corrupt Obama-era Justice Department and FBI really were corrupt, going all the way back to 1999. Anyone want to tell me the problem with that statement?
Yeah. I think Barack Obama is a state senator.
I'm not sure he was a state senator in 1999.
As a community activist, had a lot of influence at that point.
Yeah, in 1999, I don't know that he
even the
elected.
Even the arrest of Blagojevich happened before Obama was in office.
So, yeah, we got a timing issue there.
Yeah, that's convenient.
And next, melancholy moment, if you will. Walter Payton would have been 64 today.
Mm. You know, and
only 64 today.
Yeah,
and he's been gone since 99.
99, and you know, you have this perennial image. I mean, it's etched in everybody's memory of Walter Payton when he was 25, 30,
yeah.
even in his early 30s, and he died when he was 45. But you don't. You know, you have this memory of him, and it would have. You just wonder what he would have been like as a 64.
Did you have a good relationship with him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think most people in Chicago did. Anyone who came into contact.
Yeah, but you were closer than most.
Well, he certainly was an interesting guy to interview because you never knew where his hand was going to be, Steve. Mm. You know, he was
gave
playful.
You a little tickle?
He was playful in that regard.
Show me on the anatomically correct Dave Bennett chart.
You can imagine. Use your imagination. But it's great that Jarrett Payton, his son, is still not only part of this station, but part of WGN-TV and does a lot to keep his dad's legacy alive.
Connie is an amazing woman and raised a couple of great kids. And Jarrett and his sister have both done well.
Yep.
Yeah. Tremendous. So. Tremendous. One of the best athletes to have ever graced the city of Chicago.
And a funny dude. I only met him a couple times. I didn't know him at all. I only met him a couple times.
Yeah.
But everything I heard would make you wish you knew him.
A guy who was always having fun. And yet at the same time, he was the best.
The best.
So Walter Payton, again, would have been 64 today. It tells you how young he was when he left. 627, that's your top six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Coming back, we will get those headlines, and then Sean Spicer will join us to talk about his book on his Trump time at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
638, do you remember how Sean Spicer's work started for President Trump? It was the night of the inauguration. And, you know, the balls had happened and things, and the president was getting agitated because of the coverage of the inauguration. And we'll give me cut one here. This is Sean Spicer's first day at work.
You look at just the one network alone got 16.9 million people online. Another couple of the networks, there were tens of million people that watched that online. Never mind the audience that was here, 31 million people watched it on television. Combine that with the tens of millions of people that watched it online on a device, it's unquestionable. I don't see any numbers that dispute that. When you add up attendance, viewership, total audience in terms of tablets, phones, on television, I'd love to see any information that proves that otherwise.
Sean Spicer's book is called The Briefing, Politics, Press, and the President, out and available everywhere, and he is scheduled to join us in about a minute or so. I've always felt a little bit of not sympathy so much as I felt a little badly for him because, and I'll ask him this when he joins us, is the job to tell the truth or to tell the president's truth?
Yeah.
Even though Sarah Huckabee Sanders drives me crazy, you could very easily take any of her briefings and go, well, what do you expect her to say?
Well, there's an art to that job, to be the press secretary, and you've seen it over the years. And from, I think of, in my generation, I think of Ari Fleischer. I think of the guys who did the work for Obama. I think of George Stephanopoulos, of course, with President Clinton. So there is an art to the job, and the job is to be a mouthpiece for the White House so you can understand the intense amount of pressure that is on Sean Spicer when so much is flying out from social media, from Twitter, from other places that it seems like they're catching up to at all times.
Man, you got to remember, in those early days, we were still shocked every moment of every day because we'd never seen a president act that way or say those things. So in those moments, it was Sean Spicer's job to come out and convince us it was okay and we were all going to be okay. Have we got him? Oh, we're still waiting. We're connecting to him now. And again, the book is called The Briefing, Politics, the Press, and the President. Reviews have not been kind, but there is a whole population of people out there who are waiting to punch him in the face.
Well, as we said at the beginning of the segment, we were talking at the beginning of the show, it's not ideal to have the press corps that covers politics review books. I mean, there are people whose job it is to review memoirs and tell-alls, things like
that. Yeah, and I don't think Jonathan Carl, and I like Jonathan Carl, but I don't think Jonathan Carl should be reviewing.
That's what I mean.
Reviewing Sean Spicer's book when he had a contentious relationship.
Right,
with
and
it.
Most of the reviews that come fair. In are all from people who have covered the White House.
Sean Spicer joins us now, and our mutual friend Pat Brady says, hello, how are you?
Hey, good morning. I missed him.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
I appreciate you being on. He said the last time he saw you was actually when Pat was wandering around the White House, and you said, excuse me, what are you doing here?
You never know who you're going to bump into.
All right, so we were just talking about this off the air. The basic job is to tell the truth or to tell the president's truth. How would you define it?
Well, I think your job, when asked what he's feeling or believing, then your job is to express what the president feels or believes based on what he tells you. If it's a factually based question, then you answer it factually.
Right, but the point being, and certainly I had my differences with you in your time, but I felt like you weren't treated fairly a lot of the time because the job, as I understand it, is you go in, you're closer to the information than most people, but the administration wants the story or the answers to be told in a particular way. And you could tell those truthfully, but sometimes you might be riding the line.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I think what the difference is that there's a lot of questions that aren't black and white or yes or no, and they require context to why a decision was made or what's going on or how a situation is evolving. And therefore, there is a game of gotcha. And there's a question of whether or not you're seeking information because you want to understand what's happening behind the scenes or how a decision is being made, or whether or not you're trying to, you know, for lack of a better word, catch somebody.
You know, I've been surprised at the interviews I've seen in the past few days. There's a lot of people who are lashing out at you, and frankly, I don't feel it's
what?
Entirely... Yeah, really, I don't know if you noticed. not entirely fairly. Do you feel that's Trump anger, or are they legitimately angry at you?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, I think that there are some people that look at it like, all right, you want to come back? We're getting a good bite at the apple here. I understand that. That's fair. That's part of this process, and that's why our country's so amazing. We've got a free and fair press that can do what they want, and frankly, anybody can express what they want. I wrote this book because I wanted people to understand a little bit of what happened behind the scenes, but also to sort of understand my perspective on what was happening during some of these key seminal moments that they have read about. And not that it necessarily will change their opinion, but so that they might have a little bit more context as to what was happening.
The briefing, Politics Press and the President, Sean Spicer, out and available everywhere. Tell me what it's like to go in that room. Obviously, your perspective with Donald Trump, but you go in the room, I assume the President and the Chief of Staff are there, and then whoever else may be associated with the meeting at that point. How much time do you have before you go out and do the briefing where you are talking about the message of the day?
So one of the parts of the book, I'd been asked a lot of questions about what was it like a day in the life of the press secretary. I literally walked through what it was every day, how we did it, and it depended on the day. But generally speaking, you know, we'd prep. It was like a final exam every day, and you'd spend a good chunk of the morning talking to subject matter experts, whether it's the National Security Council or the National Economic Council or whomever, where you knew that issue was going to be coming up either proactively or defensively, to try to get up to speed and make sure that we had all of the information that we had when the briefing went off. And then many times I would go in and talk to the president and say, hey, this is going, there's no question this subject or this question is going to get asked. This is how I think that, you know, the advisors are suggesting we respond. Are you good with that? Do you have any edits or thoughts? And the president would give me his feedback.
Could you push back?
100%. Look, I think that's one of the biggest misperceptions of Donald Trump. He invites and welcomes advice, counsel, and even critique. He sometimes agrees with it, sometimes disagrees with it, but he actually, I mean, he welcomes it.
Sean, some of the criticism of the book has to do with just recounting some of the recent memory or recent current events that we all played out and your point of view on it, and some people questioning the accuracy or inaccuracy. But emotionally, that's, I think people want to get at what it's like to be in that role for
right.
You specifically as someone who had was sort of the embodiment of where we are as a country, as to how divisive we are right now. What was it like emotionally to be at that podium and to have a press corps and a nation hang on every word?
I think a great question, and I get into that a lot because I'm not looking for any sympathy, but I don't know that people fully appreciate, you know, what kind of a toll it takes on you. And I was with a former kind of counterpart of mine from the other side of the aisle the other night, and she said to me, you know, I don't think people fully appreciate what it takes to stand up there. And neither of us were looking for sympathy. But, you know, I tell a story in the book. One day I come home and my house is up for sale on Zillow. You know, and no one, you can't get out there and complain about it. This is the job you signed up for. But, you know, someone had gone out and found a way to post my house up for sale.
Well, there's no way you could have known you were getting into that. I mean, you know.
No, I agree. But I think, and like I said, I'm not looking for sympathy in this, but I think that there's an element that you don't fully understand will occur in terms of the emotional impact and intensity that takes place.
What was the best and the worst day at work? What was your favorite day?
My favorite day, and I know some of your listeners may not like this, but I loved when the New England Patriots came to the White House, but not so much just because it was the Patriots, who I'm a lifelong fan of, but more so because I got to share that day with a bunch of my family. And my greatest days and memories in the White House were when I got to take this experience that I was so privileged to have. I grew up in Rhode Island. I was in a non-political family, and the idea that I was staying at this podium, I loved when I got to share part of the White House with complete strangers, friends and family, and bring them in and say, you know, and know that I was creating a memory for them as it had been for me, you know, when we had visited Washington as a kid. I mean, granted, we only stood outside the White House, but those are those kind of moments that you remember for the rest of your life. And so I always loved being able to share it.
What was the toughest day?
Well, I'm not sure if you saw it, but the first day was probably not my finest.
Well, yeah, we played the clip, but I mean, honestly,
oh, thank you.
That's been hit a million times. Where were you when you first saw the Melissa McCarthy bit?
In my kitchen. I write very extensively about this because obviously there's a ton of interest, but we had left for church that morning, and my wife had said, hey, there was this thing on Saturday Live, and we were trying to get the kids ready to go, and I said, all right, we'll watch it and get back. And I'm sitting in church, and it's just like you can hear the phone vibrating, telling me there's another text or a tweet. And like, I walk out of church, and I'm like, we got to go straight home. And I pull up the DVR, you know, go to the DVR, pull down the segment. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Well, listen, I mean this. And certainly Pat Brady being a friend, he said you're a really good guy, and you and I don't know each other, and it's no secret how I feel about the president here, but I feel you're in a very difficult situation, and more days than not, you handled it well, and you do a nice job of being self-deprecating things in this book. But what's your state of optimism about the country now and the current state of affairs?
I will just thank you for having me on. Thank you for the kind words. I hope that we can back to, while disagreeing on policies and being partisan, I wish we could get back to a more civil and respectful discussion in this country.
I know you got to run. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Josh.
Sean Spicer, the former press secretary, who, if you read the book, he more than often than not does what he did there in the interview and says, yeah, that first day was a little tough.
Yeah.
But if you had to go, Sandberg, if I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out today and I want you to tell the people we work with this, and you know it's not true, but that's the job. You got to make a choice.
Yeah.
It's not the job, though.
Well, I don't know that it's not. The job is not to tell Sean Spicer's truth. The job is not to tell the truth. The job is to tell the message of the day. And you could point to every press secretary in the history of the modern presidency who has bent the truth or lied on any given day. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that's what happened.
What I think is important for this story is that at least we've seen, if not just half of the country or 49% or whatever you want to say, is that there is a refusal and a pushback to normalize lies.
Right.
And that I think is good for democracy in the way that we have seen before, not unlike any other time in history where we've seen in American history, where there is a pushback to say, no, that's not true, and we will not let you amplify that. And that seems to be where we're at. And I hope that, you know, as new press secretaries come in, he's almost a cautionary tale to say, if you do that, if you go and you amplify the lies or double down on the lies, or like he did on Inauguration Day, there will be consequences.
Because remember, every day this president, and it's well documented, tells at least three or four lies. And if your job, if you're saying the job of the press secretary is to go out and repeat those lies, that's not the job. That's not it.
What are you talking about? That is the job.
No,
the
it's job not. The job is to tell the American people the truth.
You're wrong, Steve. The job is to tell the message of the administration and to shape the message of the administration. I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you that's the job. That was the job when Ron Nessen stood out there for Nixon. That was the job when every press secretary since, Ari Fleischer for Bush, Clinton's two or three. You could point to annoying days from all of them. It's just because of the continuing lies that we knew were lies day after day. It was very easy to go, I can't stand Spicer and I can't stand Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Maybe there's a difference between lies and spin.
Not when Trump's telling.
Yeah, right. But you could parse that and find a gray area, because a lot of the times it was just about spinning a message or spinning a strategy. This is amplifying or defending outright lies, which may, so I can understand where Steve's coming from, this idea that
maddening.
It's unprecedented.
It's just maddening. And I would wait for the Sean Spicer briefing each day like I was waiting for a headache. But you had to watch it. You had to watch it, and you had to see it.
I wish his book was a little bit more emotional in the way to understand, and I don't mean the sympathy part, and he kind of talked about that, but to understand the position that a human being is put in, but then he would have to agree with the premise that what he was doing was amplifying lies, and he's not going to do that. And I think that's where the reviews come in, to say all you're really doing is doubling down and again amplifying the lies in this book.
Here's the rest of it, and again, if this sounds like I'm defending him, I don't know if you've ever heard the show. The guy's having trouble making a living. This is not like the Reince Priebus and some of the others that have left, where they've walked into a pile of money. And he got a decent deal to write this book, but the book's not selling. And part of the reason it's not selling is because of the anger about Sean Spicer and the lingering anger about Donald Trump. But Spicer chose the job. He could have left the job. I don't know how Sarah Huckabee Sanders stays in the job. But walk in those shoes before you make those decisions. One of the things that that Sean Spicer had a problem with was, as we were talking about this off the air a second ago, is readiness for the job. Reince Priebus, when he was made chief of staff, remember Reince Priebus was the head of the Republican Party. Sean Spicer worked with him and for him and was generally liked by everybody. And Reince Priebus is the one that said Sean should be the guy going out and doing the briefing every day. Facts matter. Adjustable facts matter. But some things you can't bend on. Joe, give me cut two here, because this is one of the more remarkable Sean Spicer moments as well. Listen.
You know, you had a, you know, someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to the to using chemical weapons.
Quote, Hitler didn't even sink to the level of using chemical weapons. What did you mean by that?
I think when you come to sarin gas, there was no, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that a shot is doing. I mean, there was clearly, I understand your point. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was not in the, he brought him into the, to the Holocaust Center. I understand that. But I'm saying in the way that the Assad used them, where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent into the middle of towns, it was brought to it. So the use of it, and I appreciate the clarification there. That was not the intent.
Digging really, really hard as opposed to just saying, hey, I screwed up.
I can't imagine that job.
I screwed up. And part of the reason is, and we know this to be factually true, you don't apologize. You don't apologize if you work for Donald Trump, and if you apologize, you're going to be in more trouble. So he doesn't have the facts. He doesn't know the terminology. And instead of apologizing and moving on, he's trying to tap dance out of it, and he makes the whole situation worse.
What I would love to have heard in the book, and you said it right, Sean Spicer came from the Republican National Committee. He's an RNC guy. They were against Donald Trump at the beginning. They didn't want him as a candidate. They stick with it as they get closer to election. They win the election. He's appointed to this role, and now he effectively becomes the mouthpiece for a guy that they didn't seem fit to be the nominee in the first place. And so I can understand the disconnect of trying to come up with strategies and I guess the idea of amplifying what the president has said, how difficult that would be if you didn't necessarily believe in what the president was doing.
But if you're good at the position, if you're good at that type of role, you can convey anything. As we were speaking off the air, George Stephanopoulos can say anything, and it sounds more believable.
He's Obama's last
it.
Guy.
He Obama, doesn't back up.
Carney,
you know,
yeah.
Jay Carney, who was on the show several times, he was great at it. But they're folksy. there were times where you wanted to punch him in the face, but yeah. It was great at it.
And they give they're very folksy. They give you that. Well, that's a great question, Steve. Let me tell you what you all that kind of stuff.
Ari Fleischer has been on the show many times. He was mostly good at it, but he would get snippy.
Yeah.
He would get like, oh, you're stupid. Why would you ask a question that? You're dumb.
If I was somebody's press secretary, there'd be a lot of eye rolling.
Can you imagine Sandberg as the press secretary?
Sharp tongued.
This is the message. There are no questions.
No questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We had a couple of callers in and out. Sorry we didn't get to you, but we'll come back and do that later on. How about that? The text machine is broken this morning. Our magical text machine that we count on every morning is not functional.
We have to do radio without text?
Well, our Cracker Jack engineering team is going to have this fixed any moment now. At 7 o'clock, the news is next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than when I should.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning.
Woo! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
See, the Illinois 200 Project did a survey, and they named REO the number one band in from Illinois. By the way, for everybody's, knowledge base, from means became famous here. Not born here, not raised here.
Oh, really?
But became the stars that they would be here.
Because they were the U of I house band, you said.
Yeah, and Miles Davis grew up in St. Louis and moved here to
Miles
play jazz.
Miles Davis got big because of New York City. He was the...
And Chicago.
No.
Absolutely.
I was,
what are you going, BZ on me?
Saying,
go look it up.
I'm saying, like, Miles Davis and Greenwich Village.
Yeah, we've got some jazz tracks for you, Steve.
You're in an NUA flashback. He's having a BZ flashback.
This half-hour documentary.
Make me do an FM 100 flashback over here, because I'll do it.
I would. On what was that based? The REO Speedwagon choice.
The Illinois 200 Project. It's a series of surveys going on to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the state.
Hmm. So basically, Dean Mary Vandeveld and Andy Mazur went, and Steve Grzanich voted for REO Speedwagon over and over and over again.
And 200 years ago, when Mike Madigan was first elected. Oh, wait, that's probably not true. It's probably no more than 150. All right, so what's the Demi Lovato story?
I would argue that the group Chicago might be.
Yeah, they didn't make the top 10.
That's insane.
Yeah, Chicago with all the hits. It sticks.
That's insane. Nothing against REO Speedwagon, but Chicago had more success.
Chicago sticks and Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Think this poll was weighted to downstate? That could be.
I don't know. I don't know. You're suggesting a political scandal in this poll?
Perhaps, yeah.
Okay, well, you could be right. Demi Lovato, is she okay?
Yes, she is. She's awake and alert, according to a family member. All of this after paramedics came to her house yesterday, found her unconscious, apparently of a drug overdose. They do not know on what she may have overdosed. They administered Narcan to her, which I guess is given to reverse the effects of opioid overdoses. But law enforcement officials said that Lovato, once she did become conscious again, was not cooperative with the EMTs and refused to tell them what drugs she may have taken to overdose. So there's still a lot of question mark about all of this. She's 25 years old, which is sad with all of this, now in this history of substance abuse that she has. She recently celebrated 6 years of sobriety, but did reveal about a month ago that she did have a relapse. So now this, on top of all of that, the whole thing is just very, 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 very sad.
I saw yesterday, Dean, that they ran with it. TMZ ran with it, and then everybody picked it up afterwards that it was a heroin overdose, because Narcan is usually the drug that's used when there are overdoses to heroin. Now it's also opioids, of course. Now they're rolling that back, saying they don't know, or opioids. I mean, it was a classic example of sort of a runaway story. I mean, you had disc jockeys on top 40 radio stations saying she had a heroin overdose, and nobody has that sourced anywhere.
Disc jockeys going for it, they're just taking what they see on the internet. They're not doing real journalism and checking and seeing if what they're saying is true. TMZ did report that it was a possible heroin overdose, but they rolled it back pretty early on yesterday that sources had told them that they did not think it was. But I don't know how anybody knows really what it is right now.
Right.
Because she did not reveal what it was she was taking. If they did do any chemical analysis of what was in her system right now, none of that's been released yet. So really anybody saying what the cause of this overdose was is being way, way, way premature on this.
The rest of the news that's out there includes a legendary Chicago record store owner passing, Drake concert, the Hamilton movie, and a big Madam Secretary push, I think, Dean, if I'm right about this, to try to save the show.
Possible for, yeah. with special cameos that are coming.
Yeah,
up.
Cameos with about every thumping politician that's not currently in office.
Yeah, the real Alexander Hamilton is being exhumed in
which
the
is nobody saw that coming. We'll come back and get all of that.
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 7.
Dean, I don't know if you know, this is Moron Entertainment.
Yes.
It's a legendary segment on the program, soon to be receiving our 5th Emmy, Tony, Oscar, and Oscar.
Steve and I are going to be receiving Lifetime Achievement Awards at the Oscars this year for the year and a half that we've been doing this.
But the funny thing is, the awards they give off camera, we're not even in the off camera awards. We're in the stuff they just mail to your house.
Right.
All right, so this Madam Secretary show, I've been told is on the ropes, and it's not, then it's on the ropes, and it's not. If you're going to, you know, get a little goose in this thing from a publicity standpoint, this is probably the way to do it, isn't it?
Well, it's you know, I'm not sure it's going to be a long-standing goose, and, you know, who doesn't love a long-standing goose, really?
It's a technical show
to start the day. To start the day. It's the T-shirt that I'm wearing this morning.
Right.
But they're doing, you know, stunt guesting is what this is called when they bring somebody on to gather some attention for the show. And who they are bringing on the show on which Tia Leone plays the Secretary of State of the United States is former Secretary of State Colin Powell, mm-hmm. former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, and get ready for some of you to have your minds blown, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Well, she doesn't have any time to do this, does she? Isn't she spending all her time ruining Trump's presidency?
I don't know who's ruining what right now, because I don't have time to answer a day's worth of hate mail.
Yeah, I understand.
But all three of them are going to be on the show at the same episode.
So that's a big news deal.
I would have split them up myself. It was me.
Can Hillary act?
She's on Saturday Night Live. She screwed up the beginning where it's live from New York. It's Saturday night. She said live from New York. It is Saturday night, and it's a contraction. It's Saturday night.
Right.
Can't all politicians act? Though, really?
No. Based on what we're seeing, I got to go with no. Hamilton, the play or the movie?
It looks like they're going to make a movie out of the whole thing.
Awesome.
TV or motion picture studios are bidding on rights for a performance that was filmed back in 2016 when Lin-Manuel Miranda was still on the show. And so apparently they're going to take that and turn that into a movie version of it. Lin-Manuel's people are not commenting. Studios are not commenting.
Oh, so it's not going to be like Chicago, the musical.
Yeah, I wish it was like Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some
kind of
theatrical blow.
They're on the battlefield, and they're like, I'm not going to lose my shot.
By the way, it's almost like you're channeling them.
I feel like I'm there right now.
Right.
I feel like I'm in the room right now, myself.
Because you could still use that footage, but it'd be cool to see either, you know, documentary background
maybe,
stuff or whatever.
Maybe they're going to go back and forth with, you know, who knows.
Well, you talk to him. Lin-Manuel's a buddy of yours.
Next time I see him.
Well, call him. We'll hold.
Actually, I will be talking to him pretty soon because the new Mary Poppins movie that he's in is going to be coming out soon. And I will be talking with both he and Emily Blunt in that movie.
I love her.
When that hits.
When we were getting some more life insurance for my husband, the guy that came to your house to do the blood and weigh you and all that, he's like, yeah, I just did. That guy that's in Hamilton, you know, Lin-Manuel. And I'm like, I don't know that you should be telling us that.
That's sort of something in a HIPAA code about that.
Yep, but
here's the syringe that I use.
And so I like thinking of who he went to next to say, yeah, I just did Pat Boyle.
Yeah.
See this bloody Band-Aid right here? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Who wants to see Oprah's test tube? Who wants to see it? The Drake concert was canceled. Why?
This is weird. Drake is touring with Aubrey. And
this is the rapper, not the Tasty Cakes one, right? This is the rapper?
This is the rapper.
Okay.
And not the candy rapper, but the music rapper, okay. Just to make it crystal clear. He's touring, will be touring with Aubrey and the Three Migos. Their concert schedule, the entire concert tour, has been postponed for 2 weeks. That happens. They say they want to make sure that it's perfect and fans deserve the best and blah, blah, blah. So three dates were scheduled here at the United Center, August 17th and 18th and 20th. So if things have been postponed, what they did was they canceled the final performance on the 20th. If things are postponed, I don't get why the final show of the three is canceled and not any of the first two.
And so they're skipping Chicago all outright in this tour.
No, they're not. They are still going to do the 17th and 18th. What they've canceled
losing the last one.
Is the 20th, which doesn't make sense to me.
It sounds like Drake got a call. He's got something else to do.
Or it sounds like they're not selling any tickets to that show.
Well, yeah, maybe. But just to clarify, Aubrey and the Three Amigos is Drake and Migos. That's the name of the tour. Aubrey is Drake.
Aubrey's Drake?
Yeah, it's his real name, Aubrey something. That's the idea. And so it's Drake and Migos. Migos, another popular act, and so they're doing like the name of the tour is Aubrey.
Does he have an opening
Migos.
Act?
With Migos is the opening act.
So Aubrey is Drake. Aubrey, why wouldn't you call it Drake and the Three Amigos?
They're playing. It's a play. Aubrey and the Three Amigos.
Well, this is why the last concert got canceled, because he doesn't even know what his name is.
And as long as we're getting into like way more than what this story is, it's Migos and not Amigos.
Right.
I said Amigos.
No, that's what they're saying. The point is.
You're right. The point is, unless you'd like to just take over the story. Point is that the final show has been canceled of the three. The first two are still going to go on.
Oh, okay.
If you're holding tickets to the 20th, whoever the hell is performing the show is going to go to, back to your point of purchase.
So Martin Short, Steve show. Martin, and Chevy Chase are appearing with Drake.
Yeah. Yes.
That's they're playing off of that.
That's what's happening. Okay.
Exactly right.
Legendary Chicago record store owner has passed. Who's
that? This is, it's a sad story when we lose anybody, but Val Camaletti is such a Chicago character. For 46 years, she owned Val's Halla Record Store in Oak Park. And this is just one of these classic Chicago stores where you could buy vinyl and CDs and cassettes.
Not many of those left.
8 tracks, 45, 78 RPM records, everything. She sold it all. And even if it wasn't one of the few brick-and-mortar stores still selling records, there was such a dimension to Val and the store that she ran. She passed away after a battle with breast cancer. She was only 78 years old, but a really, really special person in Chicago. Somebody that really defines, what makes Chicago great.
Yeah.
These R.I.P. characters that
God bless her
stay in. Absolutely correct.
I know we don't have any time, but I really was hoping Dean was going to cover the Golden Girls action figures that I've been seeing on TV all morning.
This is a great story. Action figures from the Golden Girls. Who doesn't want B. Arthur in a bendable pose?
I want Sophia.
I'm more of a Blanche guy.
So where can we get them, and how fast, Dean?
I'm not aware of this story.
The news team at WJ has been covering
huge
it this
story.
Morning.
We have not had the story on once this morning.
We've seen it on the screen. Larry Potash has led with it every hour.
That would explain why I haven't seen it.
It's under it says Michael Cohen tapes, but that's not what the story is.
It's about
Golden Girls.
It's actually Golden Girls tapes. But no, they have bendable action figures from the Golden Girls coming soon. If Bill F. doesn't already own these, he'll get them.
There you go.
I'm looking at them right now that you said it. Terrifying. They're terrifying looking. I wouldn't let those anywhere near my house.
All right, who are the four? Blanche, Sophia,
Dorothy.
Dorothy and Rose.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And by the way, are you still having that fling with Betty White?
Oh, you bet I am.
Okay.
You bet I am.
Because she's all hands, isn't she?
She is all hands, but nobody's a better kisser than Betty White.
I really want to leave it right there. That's Dean. See you tomorrow. Headlines next, 720 WGN. It is 8:40. The Steve Cochran Show continues. And look what the cat dragged in. One of the greatest coaches of all time, and our good friend Coach Joel Quenneville. I don't know if he's upset. He's been calling me all summer to do stuff, and I've just been busy, you know? Hey, Steve, can we hang out?
He understands.
Hey, Steve, can we do this? Can we do that?
You want to play tennis with you?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. You wanted me to talk to him about the team a little bit, you know?
Of course.
He always appreciates my input. Oh, is he listening to all this on hold? Oh, this can't be good. All right, Coach, how are you?
Good morning.
Happy.
You want to go play a little bit and a little bit here? Go hit some ball.
Happy summer.
Yeah, happy summer to you.
What have you been doing?
Yeah. A little bit of everything. Like you said, playing a little tennis. We had development camp last week. Had a couple of trips. Went to Europe with the family.
Where'd you go in Europe?
Went to Germany and Italy.
Fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. They had all the kids, and it was good.
Pasta, wine, or sauerkraut? What's your go-to?
We did it all. Beer, sauerkraut, wine, pasta, and kind of that order.
So if we're watching a game this fall and suddenly you disappear from the bench, it's your digestive tract still messed up?
I hope not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The development camp, who's a kid we're going to want to keep an eye on?
Oh, it was some of the best I've seen.
We got a great young group here. We had a good draft class here this year. You know, I'm seeing some of the kids from prior years here, but you can talk about the Boquist kid who's going to be a special player. He's got, you know, unbelievable skill, patience, got a great shot. You know, he's got a lot of nice upside offensively, and look forward to seeing him progress. The Bowden kid is going to be a decent player. Wise, the Russian Kurosev, I don't know how you see it, say his name, but he's good. The guy that might have been the kid that impressed me most was a Slavin kid. With his brother plays with Carolina.
Okay.
He looks like he could be a player, too. So it was like almost every one of these kids is could turn out to be an NHLer, which is unusual, and hopefully that's the case. But certainly it was a it was as good as a class we've seen.
How do you know when you see an Alex DeBrincat? You know, when you there's a guy to go, oh, I could be wrong, but this kid's special.
Well, the cat was kind of one of those guys. Well, let's see how he handles bigger players.
Right.
And, okay, we'll see it when he does it. I mean, we always liked the skill and we always liked how he competed. But that's a big jump from juniors. And all of a sudden you get, not even to the American League, you know, he came right here and he showed that he could play right away against bigger and stronger guys. And that's a great compliment to what he's, able to do with Ben. And, his future is only going to get better. But these kids, you know, you just see them competing against one another. You see their skill set. They see the compete level. You see their awareness. Hockey sense is all part of that. But the competitiveness is certainly the one thing that you got to expect that it's going to be an all-out type of a player. And these kids all showed that they're willing to do whatever it takes to find a way to get here.
Dave, say hi to Q.
Joel, good morning. One guy that everybody's been wondering about, I think, is Joakim Harju, the number one pick from last year. Is he, I know he's young, is he ready to make that next step yet?
I'm looking forward to seeing him. He had a really good camp. I thought he had progression from last year to this year was enormous. You know, he's got a lot of patience with the puck. He's got a lot of confidence in his game. You know, him and the Mitchell kid from last year's draft, I think they're, you know, you got to think of that. Our defense class is really high end, and that's something we haven't seen in a while. So it's a Henry, we'll see how he does in camp. I'm sure, you know, he's got a lot of confidence as well. I'd like to see him make a run at trying to play up here. I think he wants to. You know, I think you always got to look at how big or can they handle that physicality or the strength that NHL players have and how he's going to defend against them. But I still think he sees the game offensively the right way, the way the game's going. He's that kind of defenseman that can make us a better team. But it's a good question, and how he shows in camp will make that decision for us. But certainly great progress from one year to the next.
How about Marcus Kruger coming back, Joel? What is his presence going to mean?
Well, we like him. Q and I like him.
Okay. Well, we got the answer from Steve, so thanks anyway, Coach.
Well, Krugs is a guy that, you know, he was a big factor in how we played, and I think that penalty killer, face-off guy, a reliable check-in line guy, something that we didn't really use much over the last year. And I think that we lost a little bit of that type of predictability in our game. He's excited as heck to get back here in Chicago. And I think it's an opportunity for him to recapture him being a useful player. I thought the last couple of years he's been hasn't been at that level, and hopefully he can get back to playing at that level where he's one of those top defensive type role guys. And not too many guys appreciate having that job description of just being a checker and filling that need. But he takes pride in that, and I think that he can nail something down for us and being that guy that can, you know, we can use him in different ways and add something to our team game.
Coach, a lot was made of the West last year with the Vegas Knights, of course, and that storyline. But, man, the Central was so tough. The division, you look at Nashville, Winnipeg came out of nowhere, Minnesota, of course. But how do you see the competition shaping up for the next season, especially with all the teams that you have to play in the division?
The division only got better. Dallas still thinks they're a playoff team and a team that can win. They're still trying to do things, too, in that fashion. You could touch on every single team in their division. Colorado out of nowhere, making the playoffs and having some of the best young players in the game. So they're only thinking they're going to get better. You know, I think St. Louis had one of those years that were around the playoff edge the whole year that they think they're a playoff team. So you can't count anybody out of the picture before it starts. We feel that we want to get back in there and for being where we were the prior year and then not making it. It's one of these type of situations where you can be in Colorado, be one of the worst teams in the league, and you can fix it in one summer or one year and turn it around, right, and have everything go your way. A lot of things got to go your way to be a playoff team in today's game, and we know it's tough in our division. We know the importance of goaltending. We went through that last year. We need that. We need our experienced guys to be as good as they've ever been, and our young guys, they got to be a part of the team and make a meaningful contribution as well. But it's going to be we're going to need everybody to be at their best this year, and we're going to need obviously help in a lot of areas, but we feel that we can recapture that winning feeling around here and be in a top team again as well.
Coach, have you taken in any of those Chicago Pro Hockey League games yet?
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm hearing about it. The reports are spectacular, and building's full. I think the guys are enjoying playing it as well. So I'm definitely going to get out there one night. I'm not sure it's going to be tonight, but it's Wednesday night action, and it's the guys are enjoying it. I think it's been a great concept, and that's a good way to stay in shape and have fun with your fellow pros.
I just find it endlessly entertaining that guys who are good hockey players, but these are guys who are not playing in the NHL, and suddenly you look up and, oh, look, there's Taves. There's Sharpie. There's, there's whoever. There's Kaner. I mean, that's got to be intimidating and cool.
I think it'd be fun and thrill for a lot of these kids that, whether they're aspiring to be a pro or they're in the development leagues as well. And getting a chance to see Johnny and those guys out there is, I think they look forward to it. And being on the ice with them at the same time is even going to be cooler. We'll see how that goes over the course of the summer. But the guys that have played have all said how much they've enjoyed it. And it's kind of can help with their progression and how they want to train over the course of the summer. And Paulie's got a great setup down there at MB. And it's going to be, I think it's one more step from the gym. Get out on the ice on a Wednesday night is a fun thing.
Yeah, if it wasn't a Wednesday night, I'd do it. I got to get up early Thursdays.
Yeah, and we used to drink beer after the game, and after old time hockey. But that's these guys might have a beer or two after the game. I'm not sure.
No, now it's nutrition drinks. Now they're all having smoothies with the boosters. Dave,
Joe, what's the question you expect to get the most this weekend at the convention?
You know the question, and I know the answer, and I think that I think with Corey, we're looking at him. He's progressing right now, and we expect him to be ready once we start. And I think that's where we're at with him. And so he's been around, and we'll see him around in the gym as well down there, and look forward to seeing him this weekend as well.
Cam Ward is
was I right on that question or what?
Well, that's what I would think it would be the most frequently asked question.
Number two is, what is that cologne? Is that Old Spice?
Yes.
Cam Ward, big deal, right? It's great having him in.
Yeah, I think good experienced guy, comes in, played a lot of games, and can be that guy, and certainly it'll be a nice balance with him and Crow, and he's excited about here and being in a different situation for the first time. It'll be healthy for him as well. But I think that no matter how many games he plays, we feel that he's capable of winning games for us, and the predictability that we've always had in the net, I think he gives us that comfortability, and we were probably had the one stretch over the course of 10 years where it was a little bit unsure there, and that was the first time we've experienced it was last year.
You sound as pumped as I've heard you in a long time. It's great.
No, we haven't talked in a while, so we're excited. We're excited about where we're at, and we're going to need everything going our way, and we want to make it happen.
Back to the cup where we belong. We'll have to play a few games before we get there. But it all starts this weekend with the convention. I'm going to give away four passes right now on a weekend in the Dells with Coach Q.
And does he know that?
No, he just found out just a second ago. Oh, wait, I'm being told that he's not available for that. Family pack of four passes for the convention anyway. And you'll probably see Q, get a chance to high-five him. Blackhawks convention this weekend at the Hilton Chicago through Sunday, courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Coach, were you a math guy when you were in school?
I was decent in school. Once English, brutal. Math and science is okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was your favorite subject? Punching guys in hockey? Was that your favorite?
Maybe math.
Math guy?
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Well, you got to figure out these line changes.
Right. Yeah, you got to add them up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
There's got to be five guys and a goalie? That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Get your convention passes if there's any left at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Coach, I'm looking forward to seeing you. It's going to be a great season.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Thank you.
All right. How great is that?
Did you hear the way he said, I'm looking forward to seeing you, too?
Yeah.
It's kind of under the part where he said, all right. But he was really pumped about
You have spent the last 2 or 3 weeks in meetings, post-show meetings, talking about your very specific personal relationship.
It's a special relationship. It's like Trump and Russia.
I could hear it in that.
No, he's a good dude. And honestly, Dave, who's a better coach? Nobody.
Well, between the two of you, you have, let's see, 3 Stanley Cups as a head coach,
mm-hmm.
and 1, I believe, as an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. That's 4 Stanley Cups.
Pretty strong.
Yeah, between the two of
really
you.
Great.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Pretty strong. He sounds as excited as you've ever heard.
He does. Yeah. He does sound fired.
That's great. It's great
because he's had a break from you for a while.
That's probably. You know what? That didn't hurt.
What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
Well, that's good to know. That clears it up for the rest of us. 8:58. Still to come at a 9 o'clock hour, another good City Colleges story. We are big supporters of City Colleges, and we'll have Chancellor Juan Salgado in studio to tell us what's happening now. Did you hear the Taco Bell story yesterday?
Mm-mm.
If you work at Taco Bell, you can't leave the physical premises of the restaurant for lunch.
You have to eat Taco Bell or bring something home?
You have to brown bag it. And there was a lawsuit that was filed because the employee said that they're still on duty, technically or literally, if they're still on the premises. The Ninth Circuit Court agreed with Taco Bell. They said the panel held that California law was not violated because Taco Bell relieved their employees of all duties during the meal break and exercised no control over their activities, where employees were free to use their 30 minutes in any way they wish. Really?
But
if you wanted to play soccer out in the dining room? Yeah, but you can't leave to go get food from somewhere else.
I don't know how that's legal, but obviously it is.
The state of California said it's okay.
You can't go outside, or you can if you got to stay on the premises.
You stay at the general premises.
That's like in high school when you don't have an open lunch. You know, you can't leave campus.
Right. So you're telling me Taco Bell's like high school?
Yep.
Okay.
And ironically, when we would break the rule in high school, we'd go to Taco Bell. So,
from a federal law perspective, most jobs don't require breaks or have a cap on the hours worked. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
No.
State laws vary. Many require breaks. Teenagers are often under different rules regarding breaks as well. Check your state laws to see if there's compliance going on where you work. If your break's less than 20 minutes, you are required to pay your employees for that time. That means that bathroom trips and coffee breaks are almost always compensable time. And if you have an upset stomach because you ate at Taco Bell, imagine the money you could make in the bathroom, right? I mean, it all comes full circle. It's Taco Bell winning in California court. See, these are the historic. Not everybody's bringing you everything. We got everything covered.
And now they have the more urban Taco Bells where you, I think there's one in Wicker Park, and they're doing more storefronts. And the question I would have for that ruling, I'm not sure it applies to Chicago, but would be, you can't leave the premises? Like, you can't. Right. There's going to be places you can eat a door down, maybe 2 doors down, and you can't leave to walk down Milwaukee.
I wonder how far you could walk away, like standing at the edge of the parking lot.
Right.
Can you have food delivered?
I'm going over to Five Guys. Over to Five Guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, right. Mayor. A DoorDash delivery to Taco Bell.
Have your friend next door at Kentucky Fried Chicken deliver you some chicken.
I think KFC's owned by Taco Bell, aren't they?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was going to say. Then you get
into... You know, Steve, as you know, they're all part of the Yum brand.
Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Yum brands.
Can you go to the if it's one of those hybrids where it's a Taco Bell and a Kentucky Fried Chicken, can you go to the Kentucky Fried Chicken side?
They're all in the same kitchen. Right.
And then you can get some ice cream at Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions still unanswered from this lawsuit.
What you're describing literally sounds nauseating at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I don't know. And I like Taco. Are you a Taco Bell guy?
Sure.
Who doesn't like Taco Bell?
I like the nachos.
Yeah, come on. I'm sorry. Who doesn't like Taco Bell other than that guy over there?
You can get that. They have a healthy taco.
Yeah, no, I've had healthy
they have
stuff.
A hot,
yeah.
They have a healthy taco?
Yeah.
They do. It's like a grilled chicken or something.
They got plants around the outside, and you go and you grab them, and you put them inside a tortilla shell.
They redid the Taco Bell on Waukegan Road in Glenview. It's really pretty now. Like, it's updated.
You know what's funny? Look. That's how I pick my Taco Bells, which one's pretty.
They have kale growing outside.
Yeah. Not that far off, though. I mean, there is something to be said about
901. Hi, everybody, on CLTV, wherever you are, whatever camera you're on. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, honey, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning. See, the Illinois 200 Project did a survey, and they named REO the number one band in from Illinois. Mm-hmm. By the way, for everybody's, I don't know, knowledge base, from means became famous here. Not born here, not raised here.
Oh, really?
But became the stars that they would be here.
Because they were the U of I house band, you said.
Yeah, and Miles Davis grew up in St. Louis and moved here to
Miles
play jazz.
Miles Davis got big because of New York City. He was
and Chicago.
No.
Absolutely.
I was,
what are you going, BZ on me?
Saying,
go look it up.
Saying, like, Miles Davis, Greenwich Village.
Yeah, we've got some jazz trucks for you, Steve.
You're in an NUA flashback. He's having a BZ flashback.
This half-hour documentary.
Make me do an FM 100 flashback over here, because I'll do it.
I would. On what was that based, the REO Speedwagon choice?
The Illinois 200 Project. It's a series of surveys going on to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the state.
So basically, Dean, Mary Vandeveld and Andy Mazur went, and Steve Grzanich voted for REO Speedwagon over and over and over again.
And 200 years ago, when Mike Madigan was first elected, that's probably not true. It's probably no more than 150. All right, so what's the Demi Lovato story?
I would argue that the group Chicago might be.
Yeah, they didn't make the top 10.
That's insane.
Yeah, Chicago with all the hits. It sticks.
That's insane. Nothing against REO Speedwagon, but Chicago is had more success.
Chicago Sticks and Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Wait, this poll was weighted to downstate? That could be.
I don't know. You're suggesting a political scandal
perhaps,
in this poll?
Perhaps, yeah.
Okay, well, you could be right. Demi Lovato, is she okay?
Yes, she is. She's awake and alert, according to a family member. All of this after paramedics came to her house yesterday, found her unconscious, apparently of a drug overdose. They do not know on what she may have overdosed. They administered Narcan to her, which I guess is given to reverse the effects of opioid overdoses. But law enforcement officials said that Lovato, once she did become conscious again, was not cooperative with the EMTs and refused to tell them what drugs she may have taken to overdose. So there's still a lot of question mark about all of this. She's 25 years old, which is sad with all of this, now in this history of substance abuse that she has. She recently celebrated 6 years of sobriety, but did reveal about a month ago that she did have a relapse. So now this, on top of all of that, the whole thing is just very, 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 very sad.
I saw yesterday, Dean, that they ran with it. TMZ ran with it, and then everybody picked it up afterwards that it was a heroin overdose, because Narcan is usually the drug that's used when there are overdoses to heroin. Now it's also opioids, of course. Now they're rolling that back, saying they don't know, or opioids. I mean, it was a classic example of sort of a runaway story. I mean, you had disc jockeys on top 40 radio stations saying she had a heroin overdose, and nobody has that sourced anywhere.
Disc jockeys going for it, they're just taking what they see on the internet. They're not, you know, doing real journalism and checking and seeing if what they're saying is true.
TMZ did report that it was a possible heroin overdose, but they rolled it back pretty early on yesterday that sources had told them that they did not think it was. But I don't know how anybody knows really what it is right now.
Right.
Because she did not reveal what it was she was taking. If they did do any chemical analysis of what was in her system right now, none of that's been released yet. So really anybody saying what the cause of this overdose was is being way premature on this.
The rest of the news that's out there includes a legendary Chicago record store owner passing, Drake concert, the Hamilton movie, and a big Madam Secretary push, I think, Dean, if I'm right about this, to try to save the show.
Possible for, yeah. With the with special cameos that are coming.
Yeah, cameos with about every thumping politician that's not currently in office.
Yeah, the real Alexander Hamilton is being exhumed. In
which is, nobody saw that coming. We'll come back and get all of that.
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 7.
Dean, I don't know if you know, this is Moron Entertainment.
Yes.
It's a legendary segment on the program, soon to be receiving our 5th Emmy, Tony, Oscar, and Oscar.
Steve and I are going to be receiving Lifetime Achievement Awards. At the Oscars this year for the year and a half that we've been doing this.
But the funny thing is, you know, the awards they give off camera, we're not even in the off camera awards. We're in the stuff they just mail to your house.
Right.
All right, so this Madam Secretary show, I've been told is on the ropes, and it's not, then it's on the ropes, and it's not. If you're going to, you know, get a little goose in this thing from a publicity standpoint, this is probably the way to do it, isn't it?
Well, it's you know, I'm not sure it's going to be a long-standing goose, and, you know, who doesn't love a long-standing goose, really?
It's a technical show
to start business day. To start the day. It's the T-shirt that I'm wearing this morning.
Right.
But they're doing, stunt guesting is what this is called when they bring somebody on to gather some attention for the show. And who they are bringing on the show on which Tia Leone plays the Secretary of State of the United States is former Secretary of State Colin Powell, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, and get ready for some of you to have your minds blown, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Well, she doesn't have any time to do this, does she? Isn't she spending all her time ruining Trump's presidency?
I don't know who's ruining what right now, because I don't have time to answer a day's worth of hate mail.
Yeah, I understand.
But all three of them are going to be on the show at the same episode.
So that's a big news deal.
I would have split them up myself. It was me.
Can Hillary act?
She's on Saturday Night Live. She screwed up the beginning where it's live from New York. It's Saturday night. She said live from New York. It is Saturday night, and it's a contraction. It's Saturday night.
Right.
Can't all politicians act, though? Really?
No. Based on what we're seeing, I got to go with no. Hamilton, the play or the movie?
It looks like they're going to make a movie out of the whole thing.
Awesome.
TV or motion picture studios are bidding on rights for a performance that was filmed back in 2016 when Lin-Manuel Miranda was still in the show. And so apparently they're going to take that and turn that into a movie version of it. Lin-Manuel's people are not commenting. Studios are not commenting.
Oh, so it's not going to be like Chicago, the musical.
Yeah, I wish it was like Mamma Mia.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah,
some
kind of
theatrical blow.
They're on the battlefield, and then they're like, I'm not going to lose my shot.
By the way, it's almost like you're channeling them.
I feel like I'm there right now.
Right.
I feel like I'm in the room right now, myself.
Because you could still use that footage, but it'd be cool to see either, you know, documentary background
maybe,
stuff or whatever.
Maybe they're going to go back and forth with, you know, who knows.
Well, you talk to him. Lin-Manuel's a buddy of yours.
Next time I see him.
Well, call him. We'll hold.
Actually, I will be talking to him pretty soon because the new Mary Poppins movie that he's in is going to be coming out soon. And I will be talking with both he and Emily Blunt in that movie.
I love her.
When that hits.
When we were getting some more life insurance for my husband, the guy that came to your house to do the blood and weigh you and all that, he's like, yeah, I just did. that guy that's in Hamilton, you know, Lin-Manuel. And I'm like, I don't know that you should be telling us that.
That's sort of a, something in a HIPAA code about that.
Yep,
but here's the syringe that I use.
And so I like thinking of who he went to next to say, yeah, I just did Pat Boyle.
Yeah. See this bloody Band-Aid right here? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Who wants to see Oprah's test tube? Who wants to see it? The Drake concert was canceled. Why?
This is weird. Drake is touring with Aubrey. And
this is the rapper, not the Tasty Cakes one, right? This is the rapper?
This is the rapper.
Okay.
And not the candy rapper, but the music rapper, okay. Just to make it crystal clear. He's touring, will be touring with Aubrey and the Three Migos. Their concert schedule, the entire concert tour, has been postponed for 2 weeks. That happens. They say they want to make sure that it's perfect and fans deserve the best and blah, blah, blah. So three dates were scheduled here at the United Center, August 17th and 18th and 20th. So if things have been postponed, what they did was they canceled the final performance on the 20th. If things are postponed, I don't get why the final show of the three is canceled and not any of the first two.
And so they're skipping Chicago all outright in this tour.
No, they're not. They are still going to do the 17th and 18th. What they've canceled,
losing the last one,
is the 20th, which doesn't make sense to me.
It sounds like Drake got a call. He's got something else to do.
Or it sounds like they're not selling any tickets to that show.
Well, yeah, and that's possible. Maybe. But just to clarify, Aubrey and the Three Amigos is Drake and Migos. That's the name of the tour. Aubrey is Drake.
Aubrey's Drake?
Yeah, it's his real name, Aubrey something. That's the idea. And so it's Drake and Migos. Migos, another popular act, and so they're doing like the name of the tour is Aubrey.
Does he have an opening act?
Migos is the opening act.
So Aubrey is Drake. Aubrey, why wouldn't you call it Drake and the Three Amigos?
They're playing, it's a play, Aubrey and the Three Amigos.
Well, this is why the last concert got canceled, because he can't even know what his name is.
And as long as we're getting into like way more than what this story is, it's Migos and not Amigos.
Right.
Oh, I said Amigos?
No, that's what they're saying in the...
The point is, unless you'd like to just take over the story, point is that the final show has been canceled of the three. The first two are still going to go on.
Oh, okay.
If you're holding tickets to the 20th, whoever the hell is performing the show is going to go back to your point of purchase.
So Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Chevy Chase are appearing with Drake.
Yeah. Yes.
They're playing off of that.
That's what's happening. Okay.
Exactly right.
Legendary Chicago record store owner has passed. Who's
that? This is, it's a sad story when we lose anybody, but Val Camaletti is such a Chicago character. For 46 years, she owned Val's Halla record store in Oak Park. And this is just one of these classic, classic Chicago stores where you could buy vinyl and CDs and cassettes.
Not many of those left.
8 tracks, 45, 78 RPM records, everything. She sold it all. And even if it wasn't one of the few brick-and-mortar stores still selling records, there was such a dimension to Val and the store that she ran. She passed away after a battle with breast cancer. She was only 78 years old, but a really, really special person in Chicago. Somebody that really defines, what makes Chicago great.
Yeah.
These characters that
God bless her
stay in. Absolutely correct.
I know we don't have any time, but I really was hoping Dean was going to cover the Golden Girls action figures that I've been seeing on TV all morning.
This is a great story. Action figures from the Golden Girls. Who doesn't want Bea Arthur in a bendable pose?
I want Sophia.
I'm more of a Blanche guy.
So where can we get them, and how fast, Dean?
I'm not aware of this story.
The news team at WJ has been covering
huge
it this
story.
Morning.
We have not had the story on once this morning.
We've seen it on the screen. Larry Potash has led with it every hour.
That would explain why I haven't seen it.
It's under it says Michael Cohen tapes, but that's not what the story is. Golden Girls
action. It's actually Golden Girls tapes. But no, they have bendable action figures from the Golden Girls coming soon. If Bill Left doesn't already own these, he'll get them.
There you go.
I'm looking at them right now that you said it. Terrifying. They're terrifying looking. I wouldn't let those anywhere near my house.
All right, who are the four? Blanche, Sophia,
Dorothy.
Dorothy
and Rose.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And by the way, are you still having that fling with Betty White?
Oh, you bet I am.
Okay.
You bet I am.
Because she's all hands, isn't she?
She is all hands, but nobody's a better kisser than Betty White.
I really want to leave it right there. That's Dean. See you tomorrow. Headlines next, 720 WGN. It is 8:40. The Steve Cochran Show continues. And look what the cat dragged in. One of the greatest coaches of all time, and our good friend Coach Joel Quenneville. I don't know if he's upset. He's been calling me all summer to do stuff, and I've just been busy, you know? Hey, Steve, can we hang out?
He understands.
Hey, Steve, can we do this? Can we do that?
You want to play tennis with you?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. You wanted me to talk to him about the team a little bit, you know?
Of course.
He always appreciates my input. Oh, is he listening to all this on hold? Oh, this can't be good. Coach, how are you?
Good morning.
Happy.
You want to go play a little bit here? Go hit some balls.
Happy summer.
Yeah, happy summer to you.
What have you been doing?
Yeah. A little bit of everything. Like you said, playing a little tennis. We had development camp last week. Had a couple of trips. Went to Europe with the family.
Where'd you go in Europe?
Went to Germany and Italy.
Fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. They had all the kids, and it was good.
Pasta, wine, or sauerkraut? What's your go-to?
We did it all. Beer, sauerkraut, wine, pasta, and kind of that order.
So if we're watching a game this fall and suddenly you disappear from the bench, it's your digestive tract still messed up?
I hope not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who, the development camp, who's a kid we were going to want to keep an eye on?
Oh, it was it was some of the best I've seen. We got a great young group here. We had a good draft class here this year. I'm seeing some of the kids from prior years here, but you can talk about the Boquist kid. He was going to be a special player. He's got unbelievable skill, patience, got a great shot. He's got a lot of nice upside offensively, and look forward to seeing him progress. The Bowden kid is going to be a decent player. Wise, the Russian Kurosev, I don't know how you see say his name, but he's good. The guy that might have been the kid that impressed me most was a Slavin kid. With his brother plays with Carolina.
Okay.
He looks like he could be a player too. So it was like almost every one of these kids is could turn out to be an NHLer, which is unusual, and hopefully that's the case. But certainly it was it was as good as a class we've seen.
How do you know when you see an Alex DeBrincat? You know, when there's a guy to go, oh, I could be wrong, but this kid's special.
Well, the cat was kind of one of those guys. Well, let's see how he handles bigger players.
Right.
And, we'll see it when he does it. I mean, we always liked the skill and we always liked how he competed. But that's a big jump from juniors and all of a sudden you get, without even to the American League, he came right here and he showed that he could play right away against bigger and stronger guys. And that's a great compliment to what he's, able to do with Ben. And, okay. His future is only going to get better. But these kids, you just see them competing against one another. You see their skill set. They see the compete level. You see their awareness. Hockey sense is all part of that. But the competitiveness is certainly the one thing that you got to expect that it's going to be an all-out type of a player. And these kids all showed that they're willing to do whatever it takes to find a way to get here.
Dave, say hi to Q.
Joel, good morning. One guy that everybody's been wondering about, I think, is Joakim Harju, the number one pick from last year. Is he, I know he's young, is he ready to make that next step yet?
I'm looking forward to seeing him. He had a really good camp. I thought he had progression from last year to this year was enormous. He's got a lot of patience with the puck, got a lot of confidence in his game. Him and the Mitchell kid from last year's draft, I think they're, you got to think of that. Our defense class is really high end, and that's something we haven't seen in a while. So it's Henry, we'll see how he does in camp.
I'm sure, you know, he's got a lot of confidence as well. I'd like to see him make a run at trying to play up here. I think he wants to. You know, I think you always got to look at how big or can they handle that physicality or the strength that NHL players have and how he's going to defend against them. But I still think he sees the game offensively the right way, the way the game's going. He's that kind of defenseman that can make us a better team. But it's a good question, and how he shows in camp will make that decision for us. But certainly, great progress from 1 year to the next.
How about Marcus Kruger coming back, Joel? What is his presence going to mean?
Well, like him. Q and I like him.
Okay. Well, we got the answer from Steve, so thanks anyway, Coach.
Well, Krugs is a guy that, you know, he was a big factor in how we played, and I think that a penalty killer, a face-off guy, a reliable check-in-line guy, something that we didn't really use much over the last year. And I think that we lost a little bit of that type of predictability in our game. He's excited as heck to get back here in Chicago. And I think it's an opportunity for him to recapture him being a useful player. I thought the last couple of years he's been hasn't been at that level, and hopefully he can get back to playing at that level where he's one of those top defensive type role guys. And not too many guys appreciate having that job description of just being a checker and filling that need. But he takes pride in that, and I think that he can nail something down for us and being that guy that can, you know, we can use him in different ways and add something to our team game.
Coach, a lot was made of the West last year with the Vegas Knights, of course, and that storyline. But, man, the Central was so tough. The division, you look at Nashville, Winnipeg came out of nowhere, Minnesota, of course. But how do you see the competition shaping up for the next season, especially with all the teams that you have to play in the division?
The division only got better. Dallas still thinks they're a playoff team and a team that can win. They're still trying to do things, too, in that fashion. You could touch on every single team in their division. Colorado out of nowhere, making the playoffs and having some of the best young players in the game. So they're only thinking they're going to get better. You know, I think St. Louis had one of those years that were around the playoff edge the whole year that they think they're a playoff team. So you can't count anybody out of the picture before it starts. We feel that we want to get back in there and you know, for being where we were the prior year and then not making it. You know, it's one of these type of situations where you can be in Colorado, be one of the worst teams in the league, and you can fix it in one summer or 1 year and turn it around, right, and have everything go your way. A lot of things got to go your way to be a playoff team in today's game. And we know it's tougher in our division. We know the importance of goaltending. We went through that last year. We need that. We need our experienced guys to be as good as they've ever been. And our young guys, you know, they got to be a part of the team and make a meaningful contribution as well. But it's going to be, we're going to need everybody to be at their best this year. And we're going to need, obviously, help in a lot of areas. But, you know, we feel that we can recapture that winning feeling around here and be in a top team again as well.
Coach, have you taken in any of those Chicago Pro Hockey League games yet?
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm hearing about it. The reports are spectacular, and building's full. I think the guys are enjoying playing it as well. So I'm definitely going to get out there one night. I'm not sure it's going to be tonight, but it's Wednesday night action, and the guys are enjoying it. So I think it's been a great concept, and you know, that's a good way to stay in shape and have fun with your fellow pros.
I just find it endlessly entertaining that guys who are good hockey players, but these are guys who are not playing in the NHL, and suddenly you look up and, oh, look, there's Taves. There's Sharpie. There's, you know, there's whoever. There's Kaner. I mean, that's got to be intimidating and cool.
I think it'd be fun and thrill for a lot of these kids that, you know, whether they're aspiring to be a pro or they're in the development leagues as well. And getting a chance to see Johnny and those guys out there is, you know, I think they look forward to it, and being on the ice with them at the same time is even going to be cooler. You know. We'll see how that goes over the course of the summer. But the guys that have played have all said how much they've enjoyed it. And it's kind of can help with their progression and how they want to train over the course of the summer. And Paulie's got a great setup down there at the MB. And it's going to be, you know, I think it's one more step from the gym. Get out on the ice on a Wednesday night is a fun thing.
Yeah, if it wasn't a Wednesday night, I'd do it.
Of course.
I got to get up early Thursdays.
Yes.
Yeah, and we used to drink beer after the game, you know, and after old time hockey. But that's you know, these guys might have a beer or two after the game. I'm not sure.
No, now it's nutrition drinks. Now they're all having smoothies with the boosters. Dave,
Joe, what's the question you expect to get the most this weekend at the convention?
You know the question, and I know the answer. And you know, I think that I think with Corey, he's we're looking at him. You know, he's progressing right now, and we expect him to be ready once we start. And I think that's where we're at with him. And so he's been around, and you know, we'll see him around in the gym as well down there, and look forward to seeing him this weekend as well.
You know, Cam Ward is a huge...
Was I right on that question? Or what?
Well, that's what I would think it would be the most frequently asked question.
Number two is, what is that cologne? Is that Old Spice?
Yes.
Cam Ward, big deal, right? It's great having him in.
Yeah, I think it. Good experienced guy, comes in, played a lot of games, and can be that guy. And certainly it'll be a nice balance with him and Crow. And he's excited about here and being in a different situation for the first time. It'll be healthy for him as well. You know, but I think that no matter how many games he plays, we feel that he's capable of winning games for us. And the predictability that we've always had in the net, you know, I think he gives us that comfortability. And we probably had the one stretch over the course of 10 years where it was a little bit unsure there. And that was the first time we've experienced it, was last year.
You sound as pumped as I've heard you in a long time. It's great.
No, we haven't talked in a while, so you know, we're excited. You know, we're excited about you know, where we're at, and you know, we're going to need everything going our way, and we want to make it happen.
Back to the cup where we belong. We'll have to play a few games before we get there. But it all starts this weekend with the convention. I'm going to give away four passes right now on a weekend in the Dells with Coach Q.
And does he know that?
No, he just found out just a second ago. Oh, wait, I'm being told that he's not available for that. Family pack of four passes for the convention anyway. And you'll probably see Q get a chance to high-five him. Blackhawks convention this weekend at the Hilton Chicago through Sunday, courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Coach, were you a math guy when you were in school?
You know, I was decent in school. Once English, brutal. Math and science is okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was your favorite subject? Punching guys in hockey? Was that your favorite?
Maybe math.
Math guy?
Yeah,
makes
sense.
Yeah. Well, you got to figure out these line changes.
Right. Yeah, you got to add them up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
There's got to be five guys and a goalie? That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Get your convention passes if there's any left at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Coach, I'm looking forward to seeing you. It's going to be a great season.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Thank you.
All right. How great is that?
Did you hear the way he said, I'm looking forward to seeing you, too?
Yeah.
It's kind of under the part where he said, all right. But he was really pumped about it.
You have spent the last 2 or 3 weeks in meetings, post-show meetings, talking about your very specific personal relationship.
Special relationship. It's like Trump and Russia.
I could hear it in that.
No, he's a good dude. And honestly, Dave, who's a better coach? Nobody.
Well, between the two of you, you have, let's see, 3 Stanley Cups as a head coach,
mm-hmm.
and one, I believe, is an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. That's 4 Stanley Cups.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, between the two of
really
you.
Great.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Pretty strong. But he sounds as excited as you've ever heard.
He does. Yeah. He does sound fired.
That's great. It's great
because he's had a break from you for a while.
That's probably. You know what? That didn't hurt.
What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
Well, that's good to know. That clears it up for the rest of us. 8:58. Still to come at a 9 o'clock hour, another good City Colleges story. We are big supporters of City Colleges, and we'll have Chancellor Juan Salgado in studio to tell us what's happening now. Did you hear the Taco Bell story yesterday?
Mm-mm.
If you work at Taco Bell, you can't leave the physical premises of the restaurant for lunch.
You have to eat Taco Bell
dinner.
And bring something home?
Or you have to brown bag it? And there was a lawsuit that was filed because the employee said that they're still on duty, technically or literally, if they're still on the premises. The Ninth Circuit Court agreed with Taco Bell. They said the panel held that California law was not violated because Taco Bell relieved their employees of all duties during the meal break and exercised no control over their activities, where employees were free to use their 30 minutes in any way they wish. Really? But so if you wanted, leave? You wanted to play soccer out in the dining room. Yeah, but you can't leave to go get food from somewhere else.
I don't know how that's legal, but obviously it is.
The state of California said it's okay.
You can't go outside, or you can if you got to stay on the premises.
You got to stay in the general premises.
That's like in high school when you don't have an open lunch. You know, you can't leave campus.
Right. So you're telling me Taco Bell's like high school?
Yep.
Okay. And ironically, when we would break the rule in high school, we'd go to Taco Bell. So,
from a federal law perspective, most jobs don't require breaks or have a cap on the hours worked. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
No.
State laws vary. Many require breaks. Teenagers are often under different rules regarding breaks as well. Check your state laws to see if there's compliance going on where you work. If your break's less than 20 minutes, you are required to pay your employees for that time. That means that bathroom trips and coffee breaks are almost always compensable time. And if you have an upset stomach because you ate at Taco Bell, imagine the money you could make in the bathroom, right? I mean, it all comes full circle. It's Taco Bell winning in California court. See, these are the stories. Not everybody's bringing you everything. We got everything coming.
And now they have the more urban Taco Bells where you, I think there's one in Wicker Park, and they're doing more storefronts. And the question I would have for that ruling, I'm not sure it applies to Chicago, but would be, you can't leave the premises? Like, right. There's going to be places you can eat a door down, maybe two doors down, and you can't leave to walk down Milwaukee.
I wonder how far you could walk away, like standing at the edge of the parking lot.
Right.
Can you have food delivered?
I'm going over to Five Guys. Over to Five Guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, Mayor. A DoorDash delivery to Taco Bell.
Have your friend next door at Kentucky Fried Chicken deliver you some chicken.
I think KFC's owned by Taco Bell, aren't they?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was going to say. Then you get
into... You know, Steve, as you know, they're all part of the Yum brand.
Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Yum brands.
Can you go to the if it's one of those hybrids where it's a Taco Bell and a Kentucky Fried Chicken, can you go to the Kentucky Fried Chicken side?
They're all in the same kitchen. Right.
And then you can get some ice cream at Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions still unanswered from this lawsuit.
What you're describing literally sounds nauseating at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I don't know. And I like Taco. Are you a Taco Bell guy?
Sure.
Who doesn't like Taco Bell?
I like the nachos.
Yeah. Come on. I'm sorry. Who doesn't like Taco Bell other than that guy over there?
You can get that. They have a healthy taco.
Yeah, no, I've had healthy
They have a healthy taco?
Yeah.
They do. It's like a grilled chicken or
something.
They
got plants around the outside, and you go and you grab them and you put them inside a tortilla shell.
They redid the Taco Bell on Waukegan Road in Glenview. It's really pretty now. Like, it's updated.
You know what's funny? That's how I pick my Taco Bells. Which one's pretty?
They have kale growing outside.
Yep. Not that far off, though. I mean, there is something to be said about
901. Hi, everybody, on CLTV, wherever you are, whatever camera you're on. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN.
But equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Can you imagine if we didn't have a computerized communications console? Thank you, Mr. Cronkite. 914, we're big City Colleges fans around here, and Chancellor Juan Salgado's here. Getting ready for the new year?
Absolutely. Very excited, starting to see the students.
How many kids?
How many kids? We have total over 83,000 students.
83,000. Do they all have your cell phone number if they need to call?
I can give it to you now. No, just kidding.
Right. So is this like the hardcore ramp up time since you're only a month away from going back?
Yeah, this is the time when we start to see the majority of our students, finishing course selection, finishing registration. We close registration August 24th. So
everybody registers August 23rd.
hopefully before then.
Yeah.
But certainly we start to see a lot more students coming back at this.
Explain the deal with the city, because the city worked hard with you guys to make this work.
Absolutely. City's a great partner to us. Mm-hmm. The mayor's a visionary leader that has put out an agenda for us to modernize our colleges. So we built a $300 million Malcolm X healthcare facility. We're building out a $45 million wing in engineering and manufacturing at Daly College. We have a 100,000 square foot facility at Olive Harvey on the south side that's going to be diesel mechanics and auto maintenance. And supply chain management. And so we've modernized our college. We specialized our colleges. And now we're on an effort to ensure that our students don't just get the degrees, but they get the work-based learning opportunities.
Most of the kids, some of them are adults.
Yeah.
Do most of them go into the workforce, or do they transfer to another school to do more education?
See, it's half and half.
Okay.
Roughly about 50% transfer immediately, and 50% go into the workforce. Usually our students that are going to the workforce are in our specialized programs, healthcare programs, culinary programs, because quite frankly, in those fields, work experience is just as valuable, sure, if not more, than the college.
You're going to learn more on the job.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So I want to introduce our guest here.
Yeah, so Suri is one of our students that comes to us from the southwest side of
Suri
the city.
Vargas.
Suri is, got introduced to us when she came and visited on a tour while she was in high school, and believed that, you know, pastry was the right way to go. So she entered in our baking and pastry program. She has graduated from our baking and pastry program, and she is now off to an internship at Disney.
She'll be
leaving in about a week, right?
Come on. Pull that microphone right up to you, if you would. And Chef Delfina Perez, did you teach Suri?
Yes, I did. She was my student for two different semesters.
How excited are you then?
I am super excited. I mean, I have been to Disney several times, so can't wait for her to experience being at Disney.
So what are you going to be making at Disney? A little bit of everything?
A little bit of everything. It could be pastries. It could be bread. It could be helping out a person if they need it, because Disney's all about family and making sure everybody gets welcome.
Do you have to wear the mascot costumes at all?
I don't think I will be able to wear the mascot.
No, not too much. Justin, say hi.
Hi. I'm interested because there's no doubt the experience to get it at Disney is going to be one that you're going to be able to continue your career after the fact. What is the goal, end game? I mean, are you looking to be a pastry chef? What is the skills that you're learning through City Colleges and Disney? What are you hoping that's going to lead you to?
Yes, that is trying to lead me into becoming a pastry chef. If not, I really want to open up my own business. I'm really into like pastries. I want to open my own little cafe around where I live.
What's your specialty? What do you make?
My specialty?
Yeah, what do you make? What's your best thing? What's your go-to?
My go-to is always a cake. I always love any type of cake as long as it's moist, the frosting.
Dave, what's your favorite cake?
Well, whatever is in the kitchen right now.
That's incorrect. Justin, what's your favorite cake?
I'm partial to a carrot. I'll take a
carrot.
Yeah,
I carrot with cake. Carrots.
Great. Yeah. Carrot cake hard to make?
If you make it from scratch, it kind of is, because then you got to be...
You got to grow the carrots.
Yeah.
Come up from the ground.
Chef Perez, I'm interested in, you know, we've heard so much from the culinary industry about the shortage of cooks. We see this a lot in the Chicago restaurant scene. I mean, that really is an issue for some of these celebrity chefs and all these restaurants that have been opening up. There is a shortage of people who work in the kitchen. What can you do at City Colleges to make inroads or relationships or partnerships with the culinary industry to be able to supply that need?
Well, we do have relationships with a lot of restaurants and hotels, but it's the passion. I think there's a lot of
what got you into
people
it?
Who went into the industry or going to school. They don't have that passion.
What
and
excited
it's a lot
you?
Of hard work.
Sure, of course it is. But what excited you about it?
To be honest with you, when I went to culinary school, I graduated from Washburn Culinary Institute in 1990, a long time ago.
Pretty easy. It's not that long.
Well, I don't know, 1990. But when I went in there on the first day, I realized that, oh my God, I said, what did I got myself into?
Because there's a lot of discipline. There's a lot of work. The hours are
discipline,
intense.
Discipline, long hours, hard work. At first, you don't make a lot of money. But to be honest with you, at first, you don't make a lot of money, and a lot of people expect to make a lot of money right from the beginning, and that's not going to happen.
Did you know there's not a lot of money right out of the way?
But there's something to be said. I've had this conversation before, this idea that Food Network and the celebrity chef culture, that a lot of people who get into food, who want to be in the kitchen or open up their own business, there is this immediacy that they feel, that they got into it, and they got into a kitchen, it's my turn, it's my time. And in a lot of cases in restaurants, it takes years and like you said, very little pay and a lot of hard work to get there.
It takes a long time, and believe it or not, there's a lot of people who come out of school thinking that they're going to be the chef, and there's only one chef. There's only one chef, and there could be 20 employees, but there's only one in charge, and it's going to take a while before you get to that position, but you have to work really hard, and it took me a long time. It took me at least nine to 10 years before I took my first chef position. I mean, yeah, I was a sous chef, but it took me a long time to get
Well, that goes to the love, right? You got to love it because you're going to take the time, the effort, the work to get there.
Passion in this industry is not a word that you just say.
Right.
You actually have to mean it, and you have to carry in your gut and your heart, and you have to demonstrate it by actions. And I've been here, I've been in this industry for almost 30 years, and I'm still passionate about it.
Where do you chef now?
I'm an instructor at the Washburn Culinary Institute. I've been there for 12 years.
But do you cook professionally as well? Because you just like go out for a meal and then you go back in the kitchen, you make yourself something?
I guess
professional courtesy. Chef gets to take over.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you make at home?
At home, I hardly cook at home.
I don't blame you because it's your job, right? But who cooks at home then?
Well, I live with my daughter, and it's just my daughter and myself. So.
And you trust her?
Funny you ask that because she's 22 years old and she's the only one. I have two daughters and the other one doesn't want to get into the kitchen. So this one, the youngest one, is the one who's always like, Ma, can I make you something? When she makes something, she makes it simple, but she makes it really nice and tasty.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's in the family.
No pressure.
Sir, do you the takeaway from your time at Washburn and through City Colleges, do you get the is it embedded into you? Is it kind of pushed the idea that it is going to be hard work, that discipline is a big part of it?
It is, yes. Washburn has taught me how to be really time management, how to be clean and organized, because I mean I was but like how Chef Rez, she taught me really well. She taught me how to take that extra step and that it is going to be hard in this industry. You are going to have some frustrated times, but you know you can't have that. You have to solve a problem if there is one, and to make the customer proud, because it's the customer before the person.
How can you be clean and keep it clean as a pastry chef? Isn't that a messy thing?
Well, Washburn has taught me how to keep that as clean as possible.
I just see you covered in powdered sugar all day.
It used to be chocolate.
Right? What's your favorite thing to have, your favorite pastry for you? Not necessarily cooking, but what you like.
I actually love flan. It's like a custard, baked custard. That's my go-to every time.
Dave, that was my nickname when I played ball. I was flan. Yeah. Chancellor, what do you want to say to kids who want to get in, whether it's to learn how to cook at the highest level or anything else? What do they do?
I think they have to come visit. You know, one of the things that Suri did as a high school student is she went around and, you know, visited some of our programs. She visited the baking and pastry program as well as the culinary program, and that helped her decide what she wanted to do. So I think our students have to explore a little. And I would say while they're in high school, come to our campuses, explore. But even if you're out of high school, we have so many young people that are out in our communities that, you know, that are 26, 27, 30. I mean, our students are of all ages. And so this is an opportunity for students and young people and adults and folks in our community that have a passion for, you know, cooking and baking. And
life-changing stuff?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you know, 2 years ago, you didn't imagine you would be going off to Disney on an internship.
Now you're
going to
hang out with Minnie Mouse.
Yep.
Look at you. Look at you. Congratulations, Mr. Salgado. You and your folks are changing lives, and that's a great thing. And again, thanks to the mayor and the city, because they're a big engine for this program.
Absolutely.
And by the way, if you're a parent or grandparent of a kid and the kid doesn't know what they want to do, well, guess what? That's every kid. So maybe they come and they get into work right away, or maybe they come and they transfer. I think City Colleges is a great start.
What we're trying to do, Steve, is we're trying to make sure that our students get work-based learning opportunities.
Yep.
I set a new goal that 50% of our students will have a work-based learning opportunity either while they're with us or immediately after, similar to Surrey.
Sure.
Why? Because I think our students are incredibly talented, and I think the city can benefit tremendously by having our talent in their workplaces.
That's
and the mayor's been a big supporter of this effort.
Without a doubt. Great to see you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have fun at Disney.
I will.
It's the happiest place on earth.
It is.
And Chef,
well, let's see what she says when she comes back.
Yeah.
And not hanging out at the pool. She's got to work.
And Chef, I hope your daughter doesn't kill you with one of these fancy things she's making.
She won't. She's very disciplined with food sanitation.
Yeah. Very nice. And Juan, website for City Colleges?
The www.ccc.edu.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
And now here's Steve.
I got my headphones on. I was attacked by my headphones.
What you are reading is not what's happening.
We will play, as time allows, some other sound from the past couple of days. But count on that being a big part of the storyline today, that the president saying, look the other way, don't look over here, and trying to explain why he's on tape. Discussing the negotiations for campaign finance violations and potential money laundering and hush money. Other than that, just another day being Trump. News is next on 720 WGN.
Not what's happening.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies.
It is 9:43. We continue. You know, we haven't had an update on the eggplant story. Is Pete in there? Where's Pete hiding? Pete Zimmerman, join us in studio, if you would, please. And I found something interesting that doesn't fit anywhere else in the show. I'm going to throw it to you guys, too, in just a second. Pete, an update on the eggplant story, starting with the, you know, the basis of the eggplant story for people not familiar. You know, how did it all begin? You and your eggplants.
So one day we were just coming home from the gym, and we noticed that somebody had placed an eggplant on our front lawn that was marked up with a severe-looking A, kind of like the Anarchy A.
Slashed.
Modified version of that A.
Yeah. And this was one eggplant.
One eggplant.
Okay. Obviously weird. You go, well, that's odd. Why would that happen? But it's not keeping you up at night the first time.
No. We just toss it out. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Mm-hmm. And then a week to the hour, day, the exact same time, boom. We come home from the gym, another eggplant.
Now, would this be two eggplants?
This is two eggplants.
Two eggplants. So they've upped the ante.
And marked the same way.
Both had the Anarchy A.
Both had the Anarchy A.
Okay, now, if you're a normal-thinking human being, as you and your wife are, you're thinking, what the hell's going on here? What's with the eggplants? Am I in danger?
Right. And my wife was concerned, and she called the police.
And once they stopped laughing, what did they say?
They said, we'll make a note of it, I think.
Right.
We'll put it in the file.
Right.
Yeah. And
it happened a third time.
Then it happened a third time. Same thing, like a week. It's same exact time.
Were there three eggplants this time?
There were only two.
Okay.
So they didn't continue the...
A single double-double.
That's how they threw you off, because you'd expecting the continued eggplant multiplication situation.
Right.
And that third eggplant situation was when? I mean, we're going at least a month, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we asked our neighbors about it, and they were like, oh, that's weird, but offered no no help in that regard.
So we went on the air a couple of weeks ago and really went deep on this, and I'm wondering if we, you know, inadvertently shut it down, when in fact, I don't want you or your wife to be stressed out, but I was really hoping there'd be another drop-off.
Well, there was one more after that.
Oh, there was?
After our convo, before our convo.
Yeah, before our convo. Right. So it's been four total. Time, yeah. So, but then it's been about 2 weeks since the last eggplant drop-off.
And have you thought about having a forensic eggplant expert come in to examine any of the eggplants for the A?
A vegetable detective?
We've had
them printed, the prints on the eggplant.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we've mulled over a couple of different options. One being this, putting out the sign, you know, that we have a camera. This area is monitored.
Carving WTF into another eggplant.
Exactly. We've done nothing.
Right. Good. That's strong.
Other than every time I leave the house or come into the house, I check the area for eggplant.
Do you miss not having eggplants dropped off now? I mean, has it gone the other way where you wish there were?
I'm disappointed now.
Yeah.
I am. I'm struggling with it. I'm like, what, we're not good enough now?
What have you done with those eggplants? Are they in the freezer to preserve them for evidence or?
Tossed.
I think we've tossed them all.
Did you do autopsies on the eggplants to see if there's maybe another hidden message inside?
No, we did not open up any of the eggplants.
Maybe there was money in them.
It could be an, yeah, maybe it's
because of
ritual.
That spate of money-filled eggplant that had been dropped.
Somebody had to deposit, you know, drug money somewhere, so they put in an eggplant.
June, July is Eggplant Awareness Month.
I'm trying to figure out what the A could mean. What significance does the A have in your life? I mean, when I think anarchy, I think you, certainly. But
that's right.
But what would the A mean?
I don't know. It doesn't look positive. Mm-hmm. It's a threatening A.
Yeah.
And they're the picture with the double eggplants, they're carved precisely the same.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has got great penmanship or a stamp that they're carving, you know, like a cookie cutter.
Yeah, like a branding type A.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a vegetable scientist who has figured out how to make eggplants new batteries, and so that's a marking like A, double A.
Oh.
They could use that.
I thought about that.
Yeah. Is there going to be a VCR? D? Yeah.
So if this is a message you're trying to send, it's a very confusing one.
Yeah.
If it's a threat they're trying to make, it's hard to feel threatened. So what do you suppose happened here? I mean, there was work that went into it. It wasn't like somebody had extra rotten eggplant and they thought they'd toss them in your front yard. They actually put some effort into this.
Yeah, I mean, they were placed. I mean, they're
a purpose.
They weren't just like tossed out of somebody's car. They were placed with a purpose.
It's very odd.
Intimidating factor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't brought this up in a couple of weeks, but if you have any idea, or maybe you're the mysterious eggplant dropper, confession is the first step to getting you help at 312-981-7200, phone or text.
We've talked about this. My wife and I have we messed with any neighbors? And there's certainly some neighbors that we don't really, I wouldn't say get along with, but we're not friendly with. You know,
I've lived in a lot of places, and I've had disagreements with neighbors. Never had an eggplant dropped off.
773 says, "Did you Google eggplant mail?" There's an actual website. We did this. That's a little bit more. Hey, you can put in a message on an eggplant, mm-hmm. and we'll drop it off. This is much different. This is a DIY version of it.
Yeah, the 224 also says that the French word for eggplant is aubergine. So, Steve, you could probably say that in your accent better than me.
Aubergine. And that does start with an A.
That does, yeah. So maybe it's just Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah. He wore an A on his sweater because his name was Alvin. Maybe
I thought
the eggplant is wearing the A.
Very complicated French lessons that involve vegetables being dropped off with words on them.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, sure could. Could be anything.
Oh, do you see this one, Justin?
Yeah.
The 708.
Looked up an eggplant symbol in Japan. Is a dream of an eggplant means luck.
Hmm. You sure this happened?
Could be like, good luck. Good luck, guys.
And then there's the fallback of the eggplant emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Is a symbol for
the male appendage.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Appendage. See, there's a lot of stretches we're going through here, and I just don't know that we have an answer for you. Sure, we take calls. I mean, if you have any thoughts on this, you have any thoughts or theories on this, I have a feeling it's someone you know.
Well, one of my Jeannie McGrory, who works here, said that
embezzling from the company. By the way,
she knows one of my former friends. Let's just call him the Catman. Mm-hmm. That's what we call him.
I'm familiar with the Catman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we were tight as ticks for a long, long
time.
Then
it fell off.
And then we kind of had a falling out.
Pete goes all crazy ex girlfriend on him.
So you think Catman is like, I know how to get back at him. I'm going to confuse him with vegetables?
Yeah.
With expensive vegetables?
He
would be the guy to do that?
I didn't think of him, but then when she brought him up, I'm like, yeah, he would be a culprit.
Maybe Jeannie's involved. Jeannie from the sales department. Did you screw up one of her accounts or something?
No, we're good.
When's your birthday?
January.
So maybe this is a lead up. Maybe they're like, this is a big thing where it's like 6 months of eggplant terrorism, and then they get to your birthday, and they're like, surprise, I'm making an eggplant cake, and it all is...
You know what's frightening? Mm-hmm. That's as logical an explanation as anything else we've heard.
It is.
It really is. Is there anybody in your world that is, say has a fruit stand? A vegetable stand? Because the supply line for this is important, because eggplant, not cheap.
Yeah. I know, because we thought about buying them and just placing them out there, but I was like, hold up.
Did you have a Whole Foods incident at any point? By the way, I was in a band called Whole Foods.
His wife is an artist, so she could probably make a ceramic eggplant to put out there. like a lawn.
Can you tell
ornament.
Evidence-wise? Let's get into the forensics of this. Can you tell if it's homegrown or if it's bought from the store?
Like a sticker on it?
Yeah, or like you could tell like there's going to be a little bit more roots showing at the top of an eggplant.
I'm guessing you probably didn't examine it that closely, huh?
I would guess it was probably a store.
Okay.
Bought egg.
Not right out of the garden?
Not right out of the garden.
Okay. 815 says, somebody visits their elderly mother at the same time every week, and she makes them take an eggplant with them. They don't want it, so they throw it out the window the same place every week.
Maybe that's it.
There's nothing in there about carving an A into it.
Yeah, the A is really the confusing part.
Because you could almost, you feel like it could be an animal thing where an animal's bringing an eggplant to a certain area. It's the A
really
that
smart
kills
yeah.
that conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. 847, Steve, there's many alarm companies that advertise on the station. Get them, hit them up for a camera.
Yeah,
but at this point, the camera would show nothing because we've had no action.
But even if it does, I mean, you may find out that a human is doing it.
But I kind of feel like the perp, he or she
or it,
the egg perp.
Because now it used to be, you know, like a week to the time, you know, exactly the right time. But now they're throwing me off the scent.
Yeah,
by.
It's part of their devious plan.
You're going to get a 6 p.m. eggplant.
Right? Yeah,
the patterns all off.
Pattern.
Donald, any thoughts?
Yes, listening to all the evidence here, I seem to believe that it might be a Canadian farmer, and he puts the A on there to basically promote Canadian eggplant farming with the A, and you take the E out for GG, and egg. So,
right, yeah. So it's an eggplant.
It's A. Canadian eggplant chicken around.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can come up with.
I think that's a great thing. that's as reasonable a theory as any we've heard. We'll continue these eggplant updates, but there's nothing new to report recently. Oh. That's what we have.
We have a listener who saw a mushroom on the ledge of their desk several days ago in a row and couldn't explain how it got there.
Saw a mushroom or took a mushroom?
Saw a mushroom.
And then
a squirrel.
Ate a mushroom.
They saw a squirrel picking up mushrooms from their lawn, so...
Again, sounds like a hallucination to me.
I'm just saying, these city squirrels, they're big. They could sure. be that they're just sure. showing off how
they're
strong
big and they're not intimidated.
Yeah, they're like, maybe they're threatening you.
we're running out of time here, but tomorrow, Dave, if we have time, maybe you could tell the story of you being attacked in your sleep by kale plants.
Yeah, I'd be glad to tell Pete about that because I think might be a clue in there for him.
Last one, 630, maybe the perp got arrested. So maybe we need to do a news check to see if there's been any eggplant theft and recovery stories.
Yeah, I'll do some investigative reporting. I'll call the local police.
Put your
district.
Best people on it.
Yeah.
Wait, you're your best people. That's 9:55. Bill and Wendy coming up.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I'll be back Tuesday. Justin and Dave and Sandberg and everybody else will run it from here. You'll call if you need me. Bill, I was thinking of you earlier. Because,
how come, Steve?
Because of the Golden Girl action figures.
Yeah, it's a game changer, isn't it?
For who?
I mean, you tell me because you know this business.
Right. A friend of mine who also collects action figures stated, this is the line where if you have these, you're collecting dolls, not action figures. I kind of agree.
Okay. So and when you say a friend of mine who also collects action figures, is this someone else your wife doesn't respect?
It's Mayor Emanuel.
Does he have a kale action figure?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Now, do you know these are going to be valuable? Are these?
These might not be that valuable because there's a lot of them being made.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 years ago, there's a company called Reaction that did smaller versions of it, a 4-pack. When it first came out, it sold for $50. 2 days later, it was over $300.
Wow.
Do you have those?
No. No.
Well, what would be the most valuable? A Blanche, a Rose?
You want to get the whole set.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So the separate one's no good?
Nah, it's good, but you want the whole set. You want all four of them.
Who was the slut on the show? Was that Blanche?
Wow. Yes. Of course, Sandberg and I knew that.
Yeah. So do you take Blanche and hook her up with Ken? Or
sexually liberated?
If I put her in the collector's case, she'd be all over Spider-Man and Aquaman. I mean, nobody'd be safe.
She had a thing for characters and uniforms?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Will this be your top story on the show tonight?
It's all we're talking about today.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
We're going to talk about Shark Week at the Shedd Aquarium. I love Shark Week. Everybody's watching
you and Donald Trump.
I was watching with him last night. I recorded it.
Lindsey Vonn is us all over.
Yes.
Yeah, did you spank him? Did you spank him with a magazine with his face on
it? Yes, I did.
There you go. Enjoy a couple days. See you later.